desire and interest in your prayers and in your attention today. Wrote the word gold on the board, and there's a scripture over here in Revelations chapter 3 that says, verse 18, it says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. So the counsel is that we would buy of the Lord gold tried in the fire. It sounds like something that is valuable, something that is worth having. I think of the products that we have in our world today that have the appearance of gold, and I think that many times technology has allowed them to apply gold, real gold, in thinner and thinner portions to where you can't really polish it. If you do, you'll rub off the gold. And I would like for us to just consider very briefly what it means to be solid gold. And as my mind goes over the time that I can look back of in life and remember the times that I visited here over the years, I can remember those in the congregation that were solid gold. And I want to encourage you today to buy into the same things they bought into. I want to encourage you to polish those memories up, those that may have sat up in the front of the building, those that may have been someone that was so incredibly consistent. Remember the things that the values they had, the things that they stood for, the things they represented, and I'd like to encourage you to keep them fresh and polish them up. I don't think there's any danger of wearing that down where something else starts showing through. They can actually put gold on plastic today, and when that wears through, that's not very substantial to wear gold through and just see something that's just plastic underneath that. But I believe that there are some very valuable things that you can incorporate in your life, and something that'll be very valuable to us, and it'll help you to be able to carry on and project the cause of God out into the future if we will polish those things up that are real gold. Now I'd like to make a little U-turn. The first time I ever spun around in the middle of the road at full speed was one time I visited down here, and my cousin and I was in his car, and we were driving between his parents' house and La Ronger, and he asked me if I'd ever done a 360, and I said no, I hadn't. So we did. So I'm going to take our thought a little different this morning. But I want us to start out beginning to realize how valuable and how important it is to have solid gold principles in our life, something that can stand to be polished up. But if I change this just a little bit and put up above this on the board these words, if I add those words to what we have on the board, it changes the direction substantially, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
We know that gold is valuable, but there's a phrase that has been around in our English-speaking language for quite a while that says, all that glitters is not gold. And it basically means that all the things that you consider or are considering is potentially less valuable than it appears. The things that sparkle in our world around us today many times have two basic things, purposes. One of them is to get our attention, and the other is to keep us distracted so that we don't realize what's really going on. So there's a lot of that. Some of it, it might be a little bit of real gold. It might be a little bit of pleasure. It might be a little bit of fulfillment. It might be something that is a very, very thin layer of the real thing. I remember when I was in school that a man that I worked for gave me some gold-plated pen and pencil set for graduation. And you didn't use those very much, and the gold came off. It was really thin. That's the way the products that the enemy has is. It can look nice. It can look reflective. It can look wholesome, maybe on the surface. But gold plating on the surface, it doesn't go very deep. It doesn't last for the long term. I'm interested in our relationships with one another. I'm interested in our relationships with our spouses, our children, and ultimately with God to last through eternity. Something that lasts and can be polished up and be something that's not only a benefit and satisfying to us, but something that others can look to and others can point to and others can anchor to and become established by making those things a reference point. We have a song in our book, number 482, and there's a phrase there that really has captivated my thoughts for a while. It says in verse 2, "You may barter your hope of eternity's morn or morning for a moment of joy at the most. For the glitter of sin and the things it will win." You know, there's some things about the surface of sin that can be attractive. Yeah. It can glitter. And when it gets beyond the glitter of attraction, it can go to the glitter of distraction. To keep me from realizing just how bad of a decision that I might have made. The first part of that verse says, you may barter. It's possible. It's realistically possible for you to barter or to trade your expectations of the joy of entering into eternal reward in heaven with God. It's possible for you to barter or to trade that for the glitter of sin. For something that is not real, it's not pure. It doesn't go all the way through. It might look like it's the right thing. It might have a surface meaning that looks acceptable and permissible and all of those things. But I want us to start considering not so much sin itself, but the glittering things, the things that gets my attention, and the things that causes me to be distracted. There was a book that was written a number of years ago. Up from the setting is not too far from where I've lived the majority of my adult life. And the title of the book is Where the Red Fern Grows. I don't know if any of you have read that book. It's a book about a boy that wanted some coon dogs, and he wanted to hunt with his coon dogs and be able to sell the hides and make a little money. He grew up poor in the foothills of the Ozarks, the setting says. And there's something in that book that I find fascinating. He didn't have any means to catch his first coon until someone told him that you could take an auger bit and bore a hole in a log and then drive some nails in kind of at an angle. Maybe if the log was in here, something like this, bore a hole in there and then put some nails in. And then take something shiny like a piece of tinfoil or a piece of polished piece of metal and drop it down in that hole, and that the coon would come along and see the sun reflect off of that shiny thing and put his little paw down in there and get a hold of that. And when he made a fist, he couldn't get it back out because of the nails. If he had turned loose, he could pull his little paw out. But that's the way he caught his first coon. As he put his hand, the coon put his hand down in that little hole, got a hold of that shiny thing, and because it became so important to him, because he was unwilling to turn loose of it, he became the first coon hide. And that's how he began to train his dogs. So I'd like for us to take a little principle from that. The enemy has some glitter that's on the outside of sin. He has some glitter and he has some things that could be very attractive to us. It'll catch the sun. It'll cause us to be to catch our peripheral vision in the beginning. It'll cause us to think, "My, that looks good. That it's something that might be fulfilling in life." And when we reach out and take a hold of it, we can become so attached to it. And we want to actually take it to us. We want to realize the fulfillment that thing might present to us. Might be a relationship. It might be an experience. It might be something that we think is just the thing. It might be a path of life. And as we try to take that, the enemy comes along and does us major harm. This boy was able to catch his first raccoon because he wouldn't turn loose of the shiny thing. He wouldn't turn loose of the thing that glitters. So, many times, souls are snared that way. We have a song we sing from time to time that says, "Sin will take you farther than you meant to go. Sin will keep you longer than you meant to stay." And I don't know all the words, but I know there's a lot of exponential cost involved that the song is talking about with sin. And it all begins because we didn't think there was that much to it. And maybe we thought there was something real about it. Maybe we thought that it was a good alternative path. And maybe we thought that it was a direction that we could go for a while and then we could get back on track. But I want to tell you, the devil is a master at making little traps like this and putting a little shiny thing down in the bottom. And when we get a hold of it, although it's in our power to turn loose of it, many times we won't. We think, "Surely I can hold on to this. Surely I can keep this in my life. Surely I don't have to let go of whatever this shiny thing is, this thing that sparkles." Remember, the phrase says, "All that glitters is not gold." It's not all the solid gold that many of you have witnessed in this home congregation over the years. I'd like to look in Hebrews, common scripture here, Hebrews chapter 1 or chapter 12, in verse 1. And notice the writer tells us, we all know this verse, says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." It says, we are compassed with a great cloud of witnesses. We are compassed by those that were solid gold in their experience with the Lord. And I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful that I can pull on their experiences. I'm grateful that I can look to them with appreciation, with thanksgiving, that I have a role model to follow. But he said, let us lay aside every weight. You know how hard it is to lay aside something that's caught our attention? You know how hard it is for us to stop doing something that we started because we thought it was good? Over the years, growing up, I remember a few times that my parents told me, I don't think that's a word that you ought to be using. Any of y'all ever had that? You know what that sounds like. Maybe we thought it was harmless. You know, there's times that young people that has a level of integrity, you know, there's something about maybe trying to express yourself, and you maybe pick up a word that it's not really a curse word, but, you know, it kind of helps people know that you mean business. And, you know, somewhere along the line, I hope you've got a parent that says, I think that would be better if you didn't use that. And, you know, there's times that you've started it. It's easy to use it around your friends and your peers because that really proves who you are. Well, it does. It proves that we won't turn loose of some little sparkly thing. Some little shiny thing that's caught our attention and something that we feel that we can emphasize who we are and what we stand for and what we feel passionate about and all those kind of things. But you know, it's hard to turn loose of those. You'll find yourself, that'll slip up on you. And if you use the words that the scripture says don't use, those are hard to turn loose of too. But he said, let us, looking around at the solid gold that we have around us, let's lay aside the weights. Let's lay aside of the things that could draw us away. Let's turn loose of those things that would be a hindrance. It's just superficial. It's the words that we say and the vocabulary that we have. Yes, it's out of, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But I want to tell you, we don't have to use certain words to produce an image of strength or courage or anything. We don't have to do that. You can live it on them. It takes a little while for people to recognize that there's solid gold there, but they'll see that. It'll be real. There are many types of habits that we can pick up on. I think the understanding that these superficial things, these little things that glitters, the things that catches our eye, the things that we find is maybe a little deviation or a little attraction to us, and we think this is going to be the ticket. I can still have confidence in my experience with the Lord, and I can still kind of fit in with where I'm at. Maybe it's the way we dress, and maybe it's the things we engage in, and those type of elements. And we want to kind of hold on to some of this glitter. But he said, what did his advice was? To lay those weights aside and to run with patience the race that's set before us. Become solid gold yourself. Lay aside those things. But how hard is it? You know, the little raccoon can get his paw out if he just turns loose. But I want it. It caught my attention. It's something that I don't see any harm in. And there's nothing wrong with a little raccoon holding a piece of tinfoil. He can eat it if he wants to. But there's nothing wrong with that. But it's, you know, there's a beauty in salvation. And it goes much deeper than superficial. It goes more than electroplating or anything else that technology might come up with to put stuff on real thin. The first service we were here, there's a verse read to us. It says, the wages of sin is death. And I would venture that everyone here understands that concept. And you say to yourself, and you'd probably say to me, I'm not going to go there. I don't want to die spiritually. I don't want to spend eternity in hell. The verse just says that that's a consequence. That's what it's going to cost you. The wages of sin is death. He says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Many times our motivation to turn things loose is understanding what it will cost us. Is understanding just how expensive this is going to be. Understanding that this is going somewhere. I had a coworker when I was a number of years ago. He was older than myself and had started dipping skull when he was probably 10, 12 years old. And when I knew him at that time, he was probably in his late 30s, early 40s, and he bought it by the, whatever it is, the 10-pack roll, the sleeve of skull, and he had some in his pocket, and he had some in his work area, and he had some in his vehicle, and he never went without some in his mouth. And He liked to play baseball, and that's what baseball players do, is spit tobacco juice. And it was just part of his life. It was something that had glittered to him, and he had picked it up. And that could glitter to some of you young men here today. And I'm going to just tell you where it ended up with him. It was something that ruled his life. He couldn't go without it. Most people that start and pick up that glitter don't have the power within themselves to turn it loose.
Right.
And it captivates them, and it costs them dearly many, many times. It cost that raccoon his life. And sin ultimately will cost you your life, your spiritual life. But this man went along a number of years, and after I'd worked with him a couple years or so, he started developing bumps on his lip. It looked like pencil erasers. And then he started having his gums were deteriorating on the inside of his mouth. So he went to the doctor, and the doctor probably said some of the wisest things that a doctor could say to him. He said, he looked at his condition, and he said, you still dipping? He said, yeah. He said, come back when you quit. And he said, I'll try to help you. And he was dismissed. That's all he said. Didn't offer any procedures. He didn't offer to try to help him at all. He said, when you quit, come back and I'll try to help you. I know the man today, and he quit. It scared him. And he gave him some motivation to turn loose of that shiny thing. The shiny thing that had began to rule his life. And he turned loose of that thing. And today, he's up in years, seems to be. Anyway, he's considerably older than me. And he's all healed up. He never had any surgery. I believe God was merciful to him.
Amen.
You know, the Lord will be merciful to you if you'll turn loose of those, whatever that shiny thing is that you feel like you just can't turn loose of. This is my identity. He liked to spit tobacco juice. He liked to fit in with the ones that played softball and baseball and those kind of things. And he could quote baseball statistics that I never even heard of. He knew all of that stuff. But he turned loose of the thing that had got a hold of him, and he lived. If you'll turn loose of the things that's glittering, that's got a path to sin, it'll be your salvation. It'll be to your health. It'll be to your well-being. It'll be to your success as a Christian. In Proverbs 11th chapter, maybe we could turn there, we notice some of the words of the wisest man that ever lived that didn't live to his own advice. But he said something here that I think is noteworthy for our thought this morning. He says in chapter 11, in verse 19, he says, "As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death." All things that glitter are not gold. All things that glitter and are not gold have a trajectory about them. They have a direction behind them. There is something that's going to draw you and pull you away from the Lord. He says here that as righteousness tendeth to life, you put your heart into living for the Lord. You live by the psalmist's words that says, "Search me, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Try my thought. Get to know me and point out the things that I need to change." You live by that, and you'll begin to prosper more and more as you go through life. But it says here, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Sometimes the glitter is the initiation to going down a path of wrong. We think, surely I can do this and get by. Surely this won't be death to me. There are things that people put in their bodies for out-of-body experiences. You know what I'm talking about. And they think that they can do that without it costing them their life. And maybe they do for a period of time. Maybe it's a few times, and maybe it's for a number of years. But it'll destroy you. You take in those things that give you those feelings that's not really humanly possible, or those things that take you to another world or another level and all of that. It's just something that glitters, and it'll cost you. Yes. It'll cost you your soul. It'll cost you your physical health. It'll cause you to age prematurely. It'll cause your teeth to fall out. It'll cause your relationships to be destroyed. It'll cause your hopes and your dreams to just vanish away. So, with God's help, you can turn loose of that thing that looks so glittery.
Yes.
With God's help, you can turn loose of the thing and get your little hand out and not allow it to cost you your life. If we continue in down the course of life with the absence of something that was glittering to us and attractive to us, and we thought surely we could incorporate without killing ourselves, so to speak, it's going to have to take something within us. We're going to have something that's like, you know, we hear things today about rare earth metals. Don't happen very often. In fact, they're many times more valuable than gold. And three things that we're going to have is conviction, discipline, and commitment. If you're going to be able to turn loose of the things that glitter, you're going to have conviction. You're going to have to understand this thing is going to cost me. This thing is going to take me down a path that I don't want to go. And you're going to have some discipline with the help of the Lord. You're going to have to cultivate the atmosphere that will keep you on track. You're going to have to put the things in place in your life that'll keep you from being distracted by the glitter of that thing. And you're going to be committed to it. You're going to have to be committed. You're going to have to recognize that I have to cultivate some good habits. I have to realize why I'm doing it. In James, we'll go there in the first chapter of James. We find a sequence of how things can lead to. He says in verse 12, beginning, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." God's not going to set you up for failure. And he's not going to put something in your path that's just something that glitters and something that causes you to be distracted just to test you. He's not going to do that. He says, "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed." When he sees something that glitters to him, when he sees something that on the surface, it's not sin. Maybe it's an attractive person. I know very well what it's like to be a young person, and Brother Rod was talking earlier, made some mention about looking out into the future and wondering what the future held, and he didn't say it specifically, but I'll say it, wondering who would I marry, and wondering what am I going to make a living at, and how am I going to provide for my home, and so, there are many things that can look glittery in appearance. You can be attracted by the glitter of another person's appearance. And I want us to be careful. You know, there's nothing like marriage that needs to be entered into, nothing like marriage that needs to be entered into with prayer like that. You need to pray about it. Yes. Don't just try to find the one with the most glitter on them. You might be surprised. There's going to be some things about life that if it's just superficial, it's going to rub off. You want to marry someone that's got some real gold in their life. You want to marry someone that's got some real depth and some real value. Someone that could help support you when the life gets going, when all you have is sandpaper and hard knocks in life. You want someone that'll be there with you and support you. So I want to challenge young people. And if you're older and you find yourself in that place, remember, this is a matter to pray about and to consider. And it's hard. You know, many times the things that glitter, gold glitters, doesn't it? The real thing glitters. Maybe the glitter of your parents' relationship or the glitter of someone else in the congregation's relationship. Well, marriage is a wonderful thing, and it is a wonderful thing. But if you pick the wrong one, it could be a really bad thing. I remember an experience I had. My wife and I had not been married very long, and we got this phone call, I believe it was. I can't remember how it was. The glitter was presented to us, but I believe it was a phone call. And they said, we'd like for you to come and listen to a 30-minute presentation And we have a reward for you. So one of the rewards was a grill, like to cook out in the back with. And one was a Craftsman tool set. Well, I like tools, so I thought, well, surely I can put up with 30 minutes or something for a tool set. And they told me how many pieces was in the tool set. It was something like 60 pieces or something. I thought, yeah, 30 minutes, that's worth 60 tools. So, but it was the glitter that got me, you see. And I went and listened for probably an hour and a half. And I told them I'm not, I told them several times, we're not buying. I'm here for the tools. I'm not here for to buy what you told me. If I would listen, I would get this reward, and I'm not buying. Okay. They finally realized I was not buying. They tried every move they could, and I said no every time. So they took me out, and they brought me out something that it wasn't plastic, but I think it was made out of recycled fence post or something. It was not. They left the T out of Craftsman. And they left a lot of other things out, too. It was not the real thing. And I finally took a grill home. And my Bible was bigger than the grill. You would do good to cook two hamburger patties on that. I want to tell you, everything that glitters is not gold.
That's right.
Everything that glitters is not gold. It's not something that the enemy tries to make it sound good. He tries to make it look good. But as soon as you get right down to what it really is, it can be a snare, just like that. A snare that'll cost you your life, and a snare that will keep you from enjoying the reality of what life should be, and a life with here on this earth. I believe the Lord has lots of blessings for us. You young people, I want you to look forward to life. I want you to anticipate the joys of the Lord. There's a scripture that says it maketh rich and he don't add any sorrow to it. There is a fullness of life that you can expect to experience if you're careful and not allow yourself to go out after the glitter of sin. The things that on the surface might not be sin. It might even be something like marriage that God condones and God approves of. But, dear ones, if we marry without having the mind of the Lord and really seeking Him, it can be very scary. I'm not diminishing that. But when you really seek the mind of the Lord can give you something that's solid gold. Something that can be polished up, and when the sandpaper comes and when the winds start blowing and all of that, it just gets brighter and brighter instead of exposing something like plastic or lead or something like that that could be underneath all of that. So he said here, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust by the glittery things and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. My burden this morning is that we don't err, that we don't take a hold of something glittery and think, surely I'll be okay with this. Surely this won't hurt me. Surely I can continue through life. But today, just yesterday, I believe it was, I was in a conversation with someone here, and they said there's been times I've worked on my car, and I got my hand in a place and wondered if I was going to get it out. They told me that. Well, I've been there too. I've been there where you put your hand in there and you wonder just, How did I get it in there? And many times it takes a lot of concentration instead of making a fist and trying to, you'll leave some bark in there if you do and pull your hand out. You're going to have to think about, which way did I turn my thumb and which way did I hold my hand? And I've got to relax things that don't want to relax. So this morning I want to invite you to think about the things you've got a hold of. and the things that you've tried to take with you. You know, this little raccoon wanted to take, I don't remember what he put down in that hole today. It may have been, it was something, piece of glass or something that caught the reflection of the sun. And you may have got a hold of something in your life this morning and you think, well, I don't know how to turn loose of it. Every time I try to get my little paw out, it pokes me and it there's pain involved. And that's where we come to an altar of prayer. And we say, Lord, I need some help. I need to turn loose of this thing. I need to get my hand out of here because I want to be able to experience eternal life. I want to be able to experience the joys of the Lord. You remember what 1 Timothy 6 and 6 says? He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. I'd like for us to set that as our objective. Set that as our goal. That's the goal that we want in our life. Godliness with contentment. Let's turn briefly to Luke, the 12th chapter, and notice the story here about the man that tore his barns down and built new barns. Been a lot of messages preached there. But let's go to Luke, the 12th chapter, and verse 16. It says, he spake a parable to him. The ground of a rich man, a certain rich man, brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Oh, that looked like a pretty good thing. It was glittering. It was something that I can get a hold of. I can get my hand down in there and get a hold of it. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. That's going to be our reward if we don't turn loose of the glittering things in this world. If we don't allow them to let go. If we don't get a hold of the real riches, the real essence of life. Use this for a guide. Use Philippians 4 and 8 as a guide. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. You know, the devil has got something that glitters outside of that on every one of those lines. Yes. And we don't have time maybe this morning to talk about each one of those, but think about the reciprocal of that verse. The things that the enemy wants to present to us. It's just a little bit less than honest. A little bit less than a good report. A little bit less than virtuous. A little bit less than truthful. A little bit less than praise. Yes. That's the things that begin to glitter. And it begins to get our attention. And if you get a hold of that, you'll be like the little raccoon that can't pull his hand out of the hole. You'll be wanting to go, and every time you lift, it'll hurt. If you can just relax and say, Lord, I'm going to give it to you. You know my future. I remember those prayers. I don't know what the future is now, so I still pray some of those prayers. But I remember being young. I remember praying those prayers, saying, Lord, I don't know how to direct my steps. I want to touch on one last thing. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. He says in verse 25, he talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. I want you to take it with you, that you make it a point that you don't miss. There's something very valuable for you to be in the home congregation. You know those ones that you looked on and said, my, they were solid gold. What kind of attendance record did they have? If the lights was on and the doors was open, I'd venture they were here. You know what it's going to be like for you to become that solid gold? You got to do the same thing.
Yes.
We got to behave the same way. That's gold acts the same way. You know, there's something that's glittering out there. Busyness of life and the pursuit of happiness. You know, that's part of our Declaration of Independence and constitutional principles, is that we extend that to every man in our world today, in our nation, the pursuit of happiness. But we can get so caught up in the pursuit of happiness, it can sparkle and it can glitter, that we don't take time to be in the service of the Lord.
Yes.
You know how hard it is to make the adjustment and turn loose of that? It costs you something. You might see it on your W-2 form. It'll cost you something. But I want to tell you, the benefits is worth it. You take the time to be in service. You take the time to be a contributing member in the congregation, and you'll find yourself becoming more and more solid and able to be polished up by the storms of life. I want you to be challenged this morning. If you've got some glitter that you got a hold of, maybe the Lord has opened a little window and put His finger on something. You know, the devil will bring you a lot of accusations, but the Lord, when He talks to you, He'll just put His finger on it and say, right here is what you need to work on. If He's put His finger on something this morning, I want to invite you to ask Him, Lord, how do I turn loose of this? How do I get it out of my, how do I make the adjustments? Because I want to be that solid gold. I want to be the one that future generations can point to, not for a selfish thing, for something bigger than me. There's something more important than my reputation. It's the cause of God. And I want you to be challenged today to turn loose of the things that might glitter. I want you to be willing to take up the cross, to take up the cause, and carry it forward in your life. You pray for me.